Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
It is time to ready, steady, learn. As our guest this morning, Dr. Rick Henry. Hi, Dr. Rick.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Dr. Rick, you're here to tell your senior lecturer at the university here, and you've been working on earthquakes for 15 years.
Yep, no, I've been...
What an exciting 15 years that's been for earthquake worker honorers.
Yeah, very good. It's a lot going on in New Zealand at the moment, so plenty of things to do and problems to solve.
Are you under a lot of pressure to get results at the moment, especially what with there being some earthquakes of recent times?
We've got engineers that call us regular and they want answers to problems immediately.
Right,
and
so you've gone and recently completed, I'll quote you on this, the most exciting project I've completed in my career so far.
Yeah, that's the one.
Tell us all about that.
Yeah, well, pretty much I'm an experimentalist, so we love to build and break things to really understand what's going to happen during earthquakes. So for us, this was an opportunity to build the largest structure we could possibly do this type of test on and really prove if it works. So,
what are you talking about? What do you mean largest structure? Like, well, 2 feet high, 4 feet, 10 foot?
Yeah, well, this is a sort of full-scale two-story building, so the ability to test something and simulate an earthquake is very challenging.
And how did you test it?
So we're testing on a shake table, which is essentially a big plate that simulates ground motions. So
a two-story building on a plate?
Yep.
That shakes.
Shake the table, and that's the ground shaking that we have a building built on top of it to see what happens.
And what did you find? Did it crumble?
No. The intent of the building was sort of to prove that we could design it without essentially damaging the structure. So we can have a building which could be subjected to multiple earthquakes.
Where do you get a big plate that shakes a two-story building?
Yeah, so we don't have facilities in New Zealand that can do this, so we had to go up to China to collaborate.
Why
do
they have one?
Tests. So
they just haven't had one.
Yeah, they've got a huge investment in labs that they can actually accommodate these type of things, so they've got impressive facilities that we can use.
And this is the first time we've been up there to do that?
This is the first work we've done with them up in Tongji University, so first collaboration to get something done like that.
Mm. Well, is that the biggest one in the world?
The biggest, but between sort of Japan, China, US, that's the only real places that have these type of facilities.
Right.
So it's right up there.
What does it look like?
It's a huge lab. I mean, we're talking about big warehouse buildings that are the size that can take multiple structures inside them. So you're building a building inside a building.
Yeah. How long did it take to put up the two-story building before?
Yeah. Total project was sort of in the lab for about 2 months. So it's actually quite a quick process for construction. We had about a month to get the building built before we could test it and then
built to all the specs that you guys have brought with you to make sure. Sort of things did you use in that building and building that particular structure that specifically saved it from crumbling?
Yeah, so we're using sort of engineering design that's been developed in New Zealand, so it was testing New Zealand technology and this is what we call rocking structures or low damage structures, where the walls are designed to rock, sort of deform and everything moves around during the earthquake, but that there's no damage, so we don't get cracking in our concrete walls, we don't get
doesn't fall down on top of people.
Yeah, nothing collapsing. Your floors are sort of staying where they are, and people are able to sort of continue using the building.
To make a building like that at this stage, I suppose you don't have the exact figures at this stage, but how much more expensive is it?
Yeah, actually not that much. It's really a change it's a change in the way we design it rather than a change in the sort of technology.
Are we moving into the future? Is that what's happening here? Good God. And studying this for like 15 years, what have been the worry points through that time? Obviously the Christchurch earthquake was one particular fault line. Have there been any others that have been a particular worry? Concern to people like yourself?
We live in New Zealand, so we've got a lot of faults that could cause a lot of problems. So
are you surprised there hasn't been more?
What's that?
Are you surprised there hasn't been more notable earthquakes in
New
Zealand?
No, I mean, to be honest, we've been through a pretty active period of earthquakes with what happened in Christchurch and more recently in Kaikoura, so it's very weird, but we're ever conscious of potential for Alpine Fault or Wellington Fault or these other lines that the extent of damage you're going to get at that is going to be much worse than we've seen in in Christchurch or much worse.
Everyone asks this question, I suppose. Are we due for that to happen?
Unfortunately, we are. The return periods we've got on those fault lines, they could go any time.
Is there any, have we got any further on getting some sort of indicators that an earthquake is going to happen?
Yeah,
Worldwide,
there are technologies, early warning systems that people develop to do that. With the faults in New Zealand, it's quite challenging because they're very close to our cities, so you don't have a lot of warning time. If we did, we would have perhaps 1 or 2 seconds in Wellington.
Time to get your phone out of your bag and then boom, that'd be it. Does the fact that we've had such a flurry of earthquakes, does it mean that we've sort of been pushed a wee bit to the forefront of earthquake study?
Yeah, I think that New Zealand's always research. Had a phenomenal record in earthquake engineering, so we do have a lot of respect around the world, but recently some of the challenges we've faced with these earthquakes have really put us at the front of those sort of the problems we need to solve and working with people to do that.
Because once you find that structure, is it a matter of going through all the buildings at risks and the fault lines and replacing them? Because that just seems like a huge...
So what we were testing was to do with designing new buildings. Mm. At the same time, we have to look at all the existing buildings and understand how they're going to perform and what we can do before those earthquakes to actually ensure that we get better performance and
Must be exciting to see that two-story building not fall to pieces.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling to be able to build something and literally throw everything you got at when you test it and not be able to damage it or... cause any concerns. So, have a building like that people could live in is an amazing feeling.
What do you think where do you think earthquake research is going to go in the next few years? Because, I guess it's going at quite a pace.
Yeah, it's very much focused on this aspect of sort of reducing damage because the public perception really at the moment is that we don't just want buildings that don't collapse. We've done pretty well to be able to solve those problems. We want buildings that we can use again. So it's another level for us in terms of improving the performance to
and what's next?
Minimize
impact. This is the most exciting project you've completed in your career so far, you said.
Yeah.
What's the next thing you need to do?
Yeah, well,
what's the next?
The next part for us is just making sure we can implement more of them. So we've got buildings in Wellington, Christchurch, Nelson that have been built previous to this test, and now we've really shown that we can do more. So it's a matter of making sure we can support the industry to get more built.
Is there any sort of any problem with the actual building industry itself sort of changing their technique to suit this more, the safer and more sort of well thought out, better planned?
Any change can be hard to convince people to sort of to change, but the way in which it works and our industry is really needing to be driven by the design and by the clients wanting it. So in terms of being able to do it, contractors and engineers and things can solve the problems. They need the motivation and the push to have to do that.
And do you think people are realistic in their views of whether when they build something that needs to be earthquake proof?
Yeah, I think.
Or do most people just still, if they haven't experienced it, they just sort of go, oh, what's not going to happen to me?
No, I think you'll find previously people weren't very aware of that.
Yep.
Building owners in Wellington and Christchurch these days are more aware of that and they're demanding better performance. But
what about in Auckland?
In Auckland, we're probably a little bit behind the game in terms of thinking about what would happen here.
And it'd be quite different again, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Auckland's got a much lower risk and there's a sort of feeling that if it's not as bad as it's going to be in Wellington, then we probably don't have to worry, but... doesn't mean we're not going to see the same thing happen. So
be wary, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Dr. Rick Henry, thank you very much for coming and joining us this morning. Nice to talk to you, and all the very best.
Excellent, thanks.
Keep up with your research, shaking buildings in China.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.